Okay, thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. We have a lot to do this morning, so let's begin with a word of prayer. And the word of prayer is to orient us as to why we're here, to worship God. And we have a lot of things we want to cover and look at this morning. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to serve you, to worship you this morning. How grateful we are for our eternal life salvation and the spiritual life that you give us in the filling of the Spirit. Gives our lives meaning, purpose, direction. Takes the mundane things of the world and puts them into perspective of time and eternity. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you. In your Son's precious name, amen. Okay, coming off, I've been gone, it seemed like for so long, and so many really wonderful things. I want to go through some of those with you. And first in Africa, then last week in the pastor's conference. Had a great rapport with Dan and John. Just seemed like every time we get together, we strengthen it. And I got the pastor's conference. We sat up on third row, sat together, and we're always interacting with the speaker with some remark. And it's so funny to watch some of the pastors, because a lot of them are from the background I was from, and very tight-laced, and we'd just say out things and do stuff. And we had one of the guys up in on the front row for the geeks with their computers and stuff, and pastors. We had one guy, he finally started laughing and loosening up a little bit. A couple of them didn't. And but people would come up and to either of us and just say, "Man, how long have y'all known each other? Y'all, gosh," and all this stuff. And we'd say, "I don't even know him." And I'll go through some of those things. Great pastor's conference. And that related to Africa. So let's start with 461. I think a month ago we sang this before I went to Africa. So let's just introduce today with 461, "I Love to Tell the Story." Let's stand and sing all three verses. Sleep, woke up about 6:30 before we landed in London, finished it up, and he believed in Jesus Christ as Savior right then. And I think he really got it, because he said, "I got to go home now, today, talk to my wife. She's a Roman Catholic. She doesn't understand a thing about the cross that you've explained to me." So I think he really got it, and it was just
I prayed before I went that God opened up any opportunity to travel. I always do that. But I wasn't in a witnessing mood at 11:30 at night on a plane going to London from Accra. But it was just a wonderful experience. Verse number 2.
See, we'll just go through our prayer. While gone, I've been trying to keep up with Leslie's prayer list and things going on. Let's go over some of these, and then if you have anything special. Did a funeral service unplanned, and yesterday afternoon, didn't plan on doing that, and the prayer list, you have prayer for Mickey Bell's cousin. And come to find out, they weren't really that close. And Mickey was the only one I knew there. Outside of the man who died was Richard. His widow had come to church about a month ago, I guess. And when Richard was really going down with the cancer and the esophagus and the lungs. And just be in prayer for Terry, the widow, and the family. It was not a spiritual type of service, except when I talk, but it was just so much fun. He was the guy, secular, please understand, I'm not talking spiritual, but he just got a lot out of life. He was a Harley Davis enthusiast. He had a big hog. That's a motorcycle. He had, Dan Hill used to have in his office a picture of a white hog. It's beautiful, Harley Davidson. And he says, "This is what Christ will return on." The horse was a symbol of the Harley Davidson hog. And let's see, he has been building little model planes since he was about 5, and model cars. Now he's into fixing up cars. Genealogy, he was a big enthusiast of rock and roll and put together a vast amount of rock and roll. Took him over a year to do. And I didn't feel like yesterday was the place, but I'm going to get in touch with the widow in a couple of days and ask her if I can have a copy of what he did at rock and roll. And they had him open casket, but they had him in the casket. He had his Harley Davidson cap on, Harley Davidson jacket. And he was lying on a Confederate flag. But they had different people come up and speak. And I enjoy when people that don't normally speak before people just get up and talk about something that's in their soul. Big old boots on, and Gene come up there and, well, Rick and I, you know, and this and that. And this one guy said, you know, I hadn't ridden a Harley in 23 years or a motorcycle. And Rick said, come over, and I went over, and he said, there's yours. It was a sports, Harley-Davidson sports. This is my dog. We're going to go riding. You know, man, I hadn't been on a motorcycle in so long. So he took off over near Rockwall in a big, wide curve, and he said, Rick went around this curve, and the curve went around this curve, and I went straight. And but they just told good stories, and just seemed like a fun guy to have known during his time. But be in prayer for Terry. Don't know if it was the moment, but she said she wanted to come and worship with us, so we'll just be in prayer for her. Let's see. Steve Sides, Angie's husband, just had an operation, so we need to be in prayer for Steve's recovery. And as Angie says, he can get back to work. I mean, let's be practical about this. So we need to be in prayer for Steve. Vic Edwards, in Wichita Falls, Texas, is not doing well at all. Please be in prayer for Vic. Nancy Becker, Cameron, Missouri, not doing well at all. Please be in prayer for Nancy. Eve Wilcox, taken to the hospital, Jim, Friday?
Thursday.
And she's in the hospital over at Trinity Medical Center, and she's not doing well at all. So we need to...
Well, it's her intestines again. She has a blockage in her intestines. You know, she had an operation at Head Harbor, but she has another blockage. They're not sure yet if they're going to do an operation or not, but she's in a lot of pain right now.
So please be in prayer for Eve. And let's see. Any other prayer requests that I'm not up on right now? Yes.
Trade Day, and they donated a booth for
Cadence. Oh, wow.
We made posters, and Cadence has been making beads and necklaces and little magnets and just working really hard to sell these things to try to raise money. And she knows what she's doing. She knows that, you know, she's doing this to raise money so that they can keep, you know, going with her treatments and everything.
And remind me, how old is she?
She's three.
Three, okay.
So in the back, there's some little flyers that her mom made. So down here at the bottom, there's you can donate if you would like money to Frost Bank. I guess you can't call, but there's different locations if you want to, you know, ask me. I have a list of them. Or you can just send it in. Yeah, you can send it in. If you guys still want to donate food or, you know, make some food one night, Larry is, you know, still, you know, taking charge of that. They've really enjoyed it. So she's hopefully, you know, they really enjoy it.
And her mom.
So we can make food and stuff?
Yeah. So
how about a box of Graham Flakes like I eat and milk? I can do that.
Harry and the Harveys, you know, they made food for them and brought it over. And
this week, Leslie and Angie are. And then one thing her mother has shared with me was that, number one, within 2 days of whoever bringing, I don't remember, she said that they have an interest in coming to worship with us.
Good.
This is really more of a desire to get them to come closer to Christ.
Absolutely. That's what all this is about.
Yeah. But they also then have said, you know, these meals certainly are offsetting their expenses, so she can choose, okay, do I buy groceries or can I pay for this medication? So that is also seen as big.
Very good. Well, we will continue to be in prayer, work on the contributing, and work with them. That's good. Okay.
Yeah, McKinney Trade Day, it's right off of 75 and 380. If any of you guys want to come, she'll be selling stuff today. There's lots of booths.
She herself will be there?
Well, no, she can't. She's
yeah, I didn't think
but,
so.
I'll be there.
Okay.
And Jordan, the mom, will be there. So,
and the trust is for medical expenses.
Medical expenses, yes.
Okay, very good. Will you admit that you know me if I come up to your booth?
Yes.
Okay. You sound like Dan and John. Oh, that's good. Okay. Any other announcements? Okay. We're going to take up two offerings. We're going to take up our regular church offering now, and then I want to go through some things about the trip, and then we'll take up another offering for this church in Liberia. Let's begin with a word of prayer. The true message of the gospel, Heavenly Father, is not being sounded around the world or even in this nation. Even in the churches, I mean, even in evangelical churches, have watered down the gospel. Afraid to mention that Jesus Christ is the only way to God the Father. We consider it a privilege to proclaim the gospel. If it comes under the adversity of suffering, we will still do it. But right now, Father, we have the freedom to proclaim the gospel in so many different ways. We have the freedom to edify ourselves in the study of Scripture here and filling of the Spirit. We have the freedom to give the gospel to friends and people that we meet. So, Father, we value these freedoms. We're so appreciative. And as we witness them slowly being taken away one by one, those who have an eye to see what's going on, we have an eye to see the future. So, Father, we pray that you'll continue to use this assembly for the equipping of the saints right here in our own assembly, and then the spreading of the gospel in any way that you see fit to use us. Father, we pray that you receive this money, these offerings, and that you will use them in this respect. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Preparation of our what we're going to be doing this morning. Let's stand and sing 388. And as I thought of doing it and turned to it, I went, wait a minute, I think I did this last week for John's message, but it's befitting today, so let's stand and sing 388. Am I a soldier of the cross?
Thank you.
before we get into what I want to talk on, I want to just say a word about the upcoming youth camp. And it'll be at the, is it actually touch the end of June, Terry, and then the first 3 days of July? Okay. It starts July 2nd. 28th to July 2nd. And want to encourage you to think about it, pray about it, tell whatever children, grandchildren, children, great-grandchildren, the neighbor's kid that gives you so much trouble, whatever it may be, to encourage them about this camp. Last year we had a lot of conversions to Jesus Christ as Savior. We had some good impacts. Cameron right here, Cameron Daig. And just a lot of things, but a lot of things happened with the young people in this church. Thomas and Noel and so many. So please bear that in mind. Last year, the theme was faith. Then we met at Dan's Lake House. And Dan and Pat and I and Grady got into a big fist fight. No, it wasn't either. About what should be the theme this year. And grace prevailed, and we're going to study grace. And it's just a fun week. And we've learned some things from last year, and so will he be able to do it? And Dan and Pat and I got just a recommitment to keeping this as inexpensive as possible. For a long time, kids used to go to the Arkansas camp, but that's now up to, I think it was $850 per kid. And you just can't do that. And we may have to keep it rather simple and rustic, but that's fun. And so just be in prayer for the speakers that'll be there. I know Grady will be back. I'll be back. Dan will be there. And Pat and some of these. So just be in prayer for the kids, the teachers, the people that will be there to help in different ways, but mainly for the kids, that the Spirit will start opening their eyes to what's going on in this week. Okay. Yes. Yes. That's next month. Oh, yeah, yeah. And the reason I said that's just next month to put it in your head. That's soon. Fourth grade through... You got some? Okay. We'll have some forms in the back that you can take and... you just may have a neighbor's kid you want to get rid of for a week. Send him to camp. Do that. But, huh? All right, be picky. We'll have to tell the parents where they are. So just bear that in mind. Okay, anything else on the camp? Okay. Over the last few weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, I've experienced a great deal, learned a great deal, and traveled to Africa, came home, went to the pastor's conference. And I want to tell you the most important thing I learned. Out of everything that I experienced and learned is how thankful I am for you. I wish more of you would come on Tuesday and Wednesday night to study the Word with us, but I am thankful for this assembly. Most thankful. At the pastor's conference, just reiterated how interest in Bible teaching is just on an unbelievable decline. Even in evangelical churches, a lot of pastors are not giving the drama, the insight, the importance of the Greek and Hebrew. I'm not talking about every word, but where it's important, people don't want it, and a lot of men are not doing it. And they're not intently studying the Word. from a literal, historical, grammatical approach. And the theme was hermeneutics, which is studying, the science of studying the Bible. And our position, evangelical, is from a literal, historical, grammatical approach. Now, there are a lot of people who put in other things to guide them in how to study the Bible. And the problem is, what they're putting in are things that should be conclusions, not guiding you. You go into a text with a preconceived idea, theology, whatever, you're going to make it fit that. But if you just go in and say, all right, Spirit, you're going to have to bring it out to me. Show me what's here in the original text, if possible. Doesn't have to be, but if possible, it adds a drama to it. And it's just frightening. It is frightening. We've seen how the Bible has been systematically removed from our judicial system. With the I being, if you remove the truth, you have no defense against the lie. Now that the judicial system has set aside the Bible, they have nothing that will guide them against the lie of moral issues, national issues, all these issues. You can just do whatever you want. You have abandoned the truth. We have seen how the Bible has been systematically removed from our educational system. What defense is there against evolution? If you have evolution, then man is simply an animal, a physics, a machine of physics. And all of this God stuff, is you don't need it. These things have not just happened. They have systematically happened. And what was brought out this week, as far as I was concerned, how the Bible is systematically being taken out of the churches. Just read a verse and preach and make the people feel good. Mega churches, all these things. But getting down and studying it, verse by verse, is on a drastic decline. So I'm very thankful that you want to hear these things and appreciate the study of the Scriptures. We also noted in the pastor's conference, and I'll go back over some of these things later, the rise in apostasy. Why not? If you're abandoning the true hermeneutics of way of studying the Bible, you're going to come up with apostasy. You're going to start putting in other religions, other things, and be apostate in the churches. Few pastors learning how to correctly study the Bible. Now, there are a few places, but they're just a few. Yes, Romeo? Hopefully. Prayerfully, that's what I try to do when I sit and study. But few are learning these things, even seminaries. And most people do not want Bible verse by verse, these principles brought out from the language, principles brought out in the literal, historical, grammatical interpretation of Scripture. People just don't want it. They don't want to think in church. And the basic sound doctrines, Christ is coming again. He's coming as judge. All these things, it just is amazing how preachers and churches are dropping and moving just to make you feel good. And another thing that was amazing to me were some, let's just round it off, 2,000 years from the incarnation, crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and we are still fighting on the gospel. What is the gospel? I almost stand amazed, and I don't mind. I learned this, the Baptist church where I was, and it hasn't changed, and that's the gospel that I'm going to teach and proclaim and tell people of. But it is just amazing, the attacks on the gospel. They're now come up, I learned a new word, a buzzword that goes on around in a lot of circles called the crossless gospel. It is the gospel without the cross. And we'll go through some of this later, but it just, Dan and John and I drove Thursday from Houston back up here, and we just had a ball talking. It's just so much fun to have two like-minded friends And we're just amazed. What do these people have time to do? That they sit and think up all of this stuff. A crossless gospel and a hermeneutics that is not based on literal, historical, grammatical interpretation of Scripture. How to interpret prophetic language. So, just heard some wonderful Bible teachers, Dr. Robert Thomas, very old elder man, maybe, we figured probably in his 80s, and you had to want to hear what he had to say. He was wasn't a big bowl communicator. And then at night, Ron Merriman, who both Dan and John knew, he lives in Arizona, and so it was just it was a wonderful, wonderful week. I'm very glad that you let me go, and we just had a wonderful, wonderful time. Now, Africa. Just a super time. Just a super time. And let me see if I can get this done here. Okay. We went to Africa. We flew here from here out at the airport. Met Joe was already here, and he was the young man that stayed, and I'll be talking about him in a moment. Dan and Pat, we met him at the airport, got on the plane, and went to, you know I didn't do this. You know that. I would love to take the credit. I would love to say I spent all night doing this. But Dan told me when we were in Houston, he had put this, I said, send it to me. You know, I'll get home Thursday night, I got to do this, all right, I'll send it to you. And so he sent me, first of all, a very complicated way. And then he called me back. I was at the funeral. He said, forget the first sending. Just go to the second. I learned how to put it all together. So anyway, we went to Accra, Ghana. And we have been, let me see if I can figure this out. Which one of these? Okay. And we had, here's where we flew into. Now, we've been to Nigeria, been to Abuja, Nigeria, and then we went to Zambia, which is well over here off the map. But here we went into Accra. Now, let's see, I think I got Accra, Ghana, the state of Ghana, won its independence March the 6th, 1957, and there's their flag. And the arch of their celebration of their victory. Now, what we have here is we were in Accra, and I'll be going through and showing you some different people. I got a much better picture. This is James, who I want you to be in prayer for, right here, and we'll talk about him. There's Dan, and there's Joe, and these other men are pastors of small, called village churches, up in the mountain jungle area outside of Accra, about an hour and a half drive outside of the capital of Accra. I've got some pictures of Accra and Liberia be sharing with you. But people, fundamentally, especially in Liberia, which I will talk about, we're talking a massive number of people do not have electricity, do not have plumbing, no toilets, no showers, and we're talking vast area. And in Accra, you had more people who did have it, but these are men, these are pastors, all these other men here are all pastors of little village churches who want to know the truth. And they've all been gathered by this man, James, who I'll be talking about in a little bit. A little more about, and they want to know the truth. They want us to help them learn how to study the Bible so that they can teach their people. And it's just exciting to see people who really want to see the truth. Now, inside of this church building, this is where we met and talked with the pastors. This is James, back of James's head, and there's Pat. And we're just talking to the pastors in this respect. Now, on the way up there, let's see, I guess it was 4 years ago. Can't remember when. But they stopped at this really nice restaurant that overlooked over here. You can just see the tables. It overlooks this beautiful valley. And this lady worked in the restaurant. Pat led her to the Lord. And when we come back, she had these two children. And so it's just, it was really wonderful to see that relationship. And this lady Pat gave her a Bible, and she said, "I still read my Bible. I just wish I had somebody to tell me what it means." So we're going to set up sending her our Galatians and some of Dan's stuff just for her, because it's that kind of interest. Then, let's see. Okay, this is at a church in Accra. And James, this is James's wife, Helena. This is Dan and Pat. And James is just an unbelievable individual. He heard that he's straight on the gospel, and then how to understand the Bible, accepted it immediately. He's put together pastors, those pastors up in the village. He just would go up and go through and just start talking to people. And he didn't meet somebody that was a pastor, young man that wanted to be a pastor, and he'd get them together, teach them. And now this church building, and I don't know if the next one has a picture of it or not. Well, this is the inside of the church building that they have, and you see it's a pretty substantial size. This is the pastor that was appointed by James, and the thing about this church building, let me just share with you this. Accra, very poor. Now, it has a beautiful shopping mall, not far from the airport, the downtown area, and then it has an area. The homes would rival those in Highland Park that are around in this area. Big walls, wire on top of the walls so you couldn't get in behind them. And James was telling us the story that about 10 years ago, there was a plot of land right in the middle of all of this. And he didn't know it, but the government had already decided they weren't going to give it to a church. They wanted to give it to a church, and I'll tell you why they decided not to. Well, James didn't know that they decided not to, and he wrote a request for the land. Just given to him. So they called him in, and they gave him, really him, not a church, they gave him this land for the church. And the reason was, you'll love this, his was the only application that was not going to be screaming and jumping and playing all kinds of instruments, hollering in tongues and rolling on the floor, because the people didn't want that. They didn't want that in their community, and they let the government know it. So they said, since yours is a regular church meeting of singing and teaching of the Bible, it's yours. So they built this building, and it's just a very small part of what all they built. But now what they're doing is, in this part, they've got the church building that is still a sizable lot. What they decided they needed to do was start building a high wall around this lot so that the government wouldn't come and say, well, since you're not using this land, we're going to take it back. But if they have a wall around it, can't take it back. So there's a lot going on. And Dan and I both spoke at this church, and this pastor, it was on a Sunday, and after we'd already been in Liberia, and I came home, I left for the States on a late Tuesday night, 11 o'clock. Well, Dan told me that Wednesday they met with him again, and he told Dan, he said, what you and Herman taught has changed this church already. It'll never be the same. He said what he taught on spiritual love has just been what everyone's talking about. And so this was a really wonderful, wonderful time. It's probably, in Ghana and Liberia, constant 90 to 95 degrees, 24 hours a day. No air conditionings. And water is just prime. And they took up a collection. And just at the end, they passed out soda water, which is to them was a very big deal, and we appreciated it. Dan and I appreciated it. So that was that. And they sang beautiful traditional song hymns, and then they sang a couple that weren't so traditional, and it was really a wonderful worship service. Okay, now. Let's see, this is a picture. All right, this is a picture of the outside of the church that you had in. Here's the inside, and here's the outside. And Director Joe Mamon and some of the students, and how the new Grace Gospel Missions Bible Training Institute. Now, let me talk about that a few moments. Grace Gospel Missions is a missions board that Dan and Pat fixed up with Tulsa Bible Church, or Southwood Bible Church. Dennis Mock went to Dallas Seminary. He got didn't get a Master of Theology. He just went 2.5 or 3 years. Then he went on a mission field to Africa, and he realized there's just nothing here for these men. Even denominations, the Church of Christ and Pentecost, they just go in, but no training of these men. So what he did, he put together basic course that we have at Dallas Seminary, everybody takes, and put it together for a Bible training center for pastors or a Bible training center for church leaders. Both are the same, but you get different degrees. And he's put together 10 of these books out of just the fundamental basic theology of different whatever it was, interpreting the Bible, Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, different things like that, spirituality. And this is what Dan has, the Bible Institute, Training Institute. And Joe will be teaching all 10 of these books. It'll take about a year to a year and a half. And John Hintz taught at his church to train Joe so that Joe could go over and do this. And there's Joe right here. The only white guy. And now what Dan is doing, he is putting these on DVDs. And he's asked me to do the Spirit-Filled Life or Spirituality booklet. And he said, and please refer to the book every now and then. So I got to get with whoever to help me set up the cameras and things. And I'm thinking about just asking people here if y'all like to have this course. It is a superb course on studying the Bible and just all these things. Not for the certificate that you get. Certificates are very big in Africa. They love certificates and understand that. But just for the training, but especially we need you when I start the spiritual section. We'll video it. He'll put it with that. And the idea being is he can send to these churches in Africa or India, wherever, Mexico, he can send them the videos, have one of their pastors kind of be in charge, checking attendance and all this, giving them the assignments, reading assignments, without pastors having to go over, take that financial, the finance to send pastors and do all of this if we do it by video. Now, the organization to put this together, Church History Survey Basic Training, is in Atlanta, and Dan talked with them, and they weren't too enthused about it. They didn't say no. They weren't enthused. But we met with the director in Ghana, in Liberia, and boy, he was so excited about it that they'd be doing this on DVD so that they could just set it up at some church or somewhere, show the video, and have men trained. But there's 10 of books like this, and so there's that. On the Grace, yes. These, yes. Yes, yes. Yeah, no, the booklets are for anybody to use all over the world, and they're having trouble with one group on that issue in India who are changing it. So they're working now to get them to pick some other course and not use this one. They're not going to take anybody to court, but they'd like to keep it sound. Now, in Grace Gospel Missions, I brought back two of their newsletters. Good. And please read them. This one will let you know, the one out there, do you know what we did last summer? Talks about the camp. It will show you things that happened at the camp, getting ready for this year. And on the back is a Nigerian, Pastor Joseph. Now, Dan and I sent him the money for this little motorcycle. They don't have cars, and the roads are horrible. And his other motorcycle had been beaten up so bad. And you can get a really nice motorcycle for $600. So I gave $300, Dan gave $300, and he sent us a picture of the motorcycle. But you can read that. The other one here is a tribute to Stuart. I told you that Stuart died. So this is a tribute to Stuart, and has a picture of his wife, and then just different things going on in Grace Gospel Missions. And it has the synopsis of Joe, who is over there teaching. Now, when Joe went, he is 21 years old. He's going to be teaching pastors. It was a little hesitant on that. Open your Bibles to Jeremiah. I thought this was splendid. The Sunday before Joe came here, and then we flew to Africa, John had the whole Sunday devoted to Joe, and they ordained him and all these things. And this was the heart of John's message to Joe. Jeremiah 1:1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest, who were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the exile of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now, the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, the omniscience of God. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Jeremiah, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I am a youth. The Lord never takes our excuses, people. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then he stretched out his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I have appointed you this day over the nations, over the kingdoms, to pluck up and break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build and to plant. And what a most befitting challenge to a young man going out to do what Joe's going to do. I don't know if this is the proper place, but I'm in it now. Joe's just a unique guy. He has a missionary heart. As you know, I do not have a missionary heart. He has a missionary heart. The first day we were there, he was already learning the language, just bits and pieces. He was picking up on customs. And now you got to understand, Accra is backward. A lot of people have no electricity, no plumbing. But he said, when we went up to the hills where I showed you that church and where the pastors were, and he said, that's where I want to go, up into the villages. He said, I want to know the language so well in about 6 months that I can take off and just walk through these villages and just meet the people And he's got the heart. And he's just a real wonderful time. We've roomed together. And just a wonderful time. Be in prayer for Joe. I'll keep you apprised as to maybe his needs. And right now he's okay. But as to his needs. And so we'll just keep up with him in that respect. Be in prayer for him. And he is due to stay there a year. I think he's going to come home in September to do something and then go back and finish it up. And then maybe go to Liberia, maybe somewhere else. One thing about I like about Grace Gospel Missions, unlike many mission boards, they don't tell you where to go. Now, this one we lined up, he didn't have any idea. But if he wants to go to Russia, you know, India, after this, he's under no bound obligation to go where we would like him to go, where Grace Gospel Missions would like him to go. And I like that. All the money sent, every dime that is sent to him or any of their missionaries, the whole amount goes to the missionary. A lot of boards keep anywhere up to 25% of what's contributed for administration purposes, you see. But 100% is sent to these men. And Dan and Pat would love, any of you that would love to go to Africa or somewhere for a couple of weeks, I'd like to get Philip. I really will. I'm going to talk to you about it. I'd love to you to go in the summer, maybe when you're not teaching something. He's been to Russia. Have you been anywhere else other than Russia? Okay. Love for you to go. You'd be great there. He has that ability to do those things. And so that's really good. Okay. So this is still in Accra. All right. Now, one thing that we did is the British and Dutch slave forts on the Ghana coast. Now, the Dutch came in 1482, and excuse me, the Dutch came in 1464, the British came in 1482, and they built these beautiful, unbelievable forts. What an education. What an education. They came down there because there was a lot of gold along the coast here. It was just on the beach. So they came down for gold and to trade with trade goods. So they built these forts, and then all along around the edge of these forts, you have down here dark rooms. And that's where they would store the products, the supplies that they were trading. Then they discovered that inland were slaves. So this started the slave trade. And America will come on to see much later. But it was so funny, in giving both tours, I promise you'd have thought America started it. And America was the transporter of slaves, the way the guide says kept bringing up America. And we never sent one ship to carry slaves back here. Yes, we bought them, but we didn't do that. The slaves going inland, all around, all along the coast, all the way down to Ghana, Nigeria, three groups. One would be, in some cases, the Dutch and the British, but in most cases, it would be other African tribes enslaving Africans, bringing them to these forts where they would be sold as slaves. And even before that, that is not brought out. It's not brought out. But for centuries, they've been offering human sacrifices. They've been killing each other just on sacrifices of fire and burning. But you never hear all of that. It's just slaves. And so the slaves would be sent over to Europe, and Dutchland, Europe, and different places like that. And then they started, when they bring the slaves in, they would bring them in, and they would put them down in these dark, no light at all, anywhere from 2 weeks to 3 months. They would die down there. There was very, very, no light, very sloppy and horrible food, in naked, in bound, chains. The latrine was just a dugout little thing, ran down through the middle. They would die down there. And I was talking with Dan. I thought, I would hope, I don't know, but I would hope I'd be smart enough to say, I want to sell these. I think I want to keep them a little healthy. I mean, even if I were dealing with dogs, if I was selling dogs, I want to keep a dog healthy. I don't want to try to sell somebody a sick dog. So even if they didn't think they were really human, whatever I'm saying, I would want to get that much out of it, but not so. And then the men were kept separate from the women. The women were not in as bad a condition, and you know why. I don't have to tell you why. And but the forts were really set up to, with the cannons and different things, to protect the fort from other forces that would come in, other nations that would come in and try to get them. Okay, let's see what we have next. Okay, this is the door of no return. And when you walk out this door, the slaves are taken down to this underground cave, taken out to this door, men and women, taken out and put on ship right out this door. And this was came to be known as the door of no return. This was a door. Inside of this room is where, if you were a troublemaker in any way, you were just put in there and you were going to die. You were not fed. You were not given any water. And you just die. And when somebody else was thrown in there, thrown in on top of dead bodies. So you got ant lice, all of these things going on. It is remarkable how man will treat man. And the guide at the Dutchland, the Dutch fortress, you know, never has man been treated anymore. And Dan and I said, well, wait a minute, what about the Jews? And he went, oh, okay. But he didn't want to emphasize the Jews. But this was quite an eye-opener in many respects. This is Dan and a lady that was on our tour with us with a plaque about, may this never be done again to any members of the human race. Okay. When we were down at the coast, Dan's a big fan of Slumdog. I don't know if you've seen Slumdog Millionaire yet. I saw it on the plane, but he was a big deal on it. So we're at a little restaurant down on the coast called the Oasis, and Pat, these kids were just playing. Pat went down on the coast and she started leading them to Christ, and we were just sitting up there kind of enjoying tea and stuff, and she just said, I'll be back, and went down here and she gave them, I thought I brought one, a little coin with John 3:16 on it, and talked with them. And so here's some pictures of these three. Now, did they believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? Only God knows. But they listened. They were interested. They did not run off. They stayed right with her the whole time. And they said, yes, we believe that. So they'd be in prayer and for whatever might be. On this beach, we were sitting there. Now, he didn't put one of them on. We were sitting there, and all of a sudden, some pigs went running by. This mother pig with about four or five little ones. And then a few minutes later, one of them was running back this way, and a dog had her little tail, little pigtail, and she was going, ee-ee-ee-ee. So I was sorry. We're going to send those to Judy. She has a little pig, Judy Hitz. Okay. Let's see what we got next. Okay, here's James Owusu. People he's witnessed to, the churches he's formed, sacrifices he's made, just unbelievable. He has two sons that live in America that are doctors. One's at Johns Hopkins right now. Got a daughter that is a nurse. So we ask him, how are they getting along in America? And he said, surprisingly, they have their most trouble with blacks, because their tribe was one of the tribes that would go into the jungle and get the slaves and bring them out to sell. So they're mad at these two doctors and nurses because they were part of the slave selling. Get over it. Anyway, that's James. And if you are a prayer warrior, please be in prayer for this man. Please be in prayer for this man. When I was there, he had heart trouble, and so we went to the what would be equivalent to our VA, the military hospital, and the one of the best doctors there went to school with James's son, so he treats him for nothing and gets him right in, took care of him, and so just be in prayer. That's his feet. But he had a manicure. No, he didn't. What a wonderful man. His wife is Elena. Fixed us lunch and breakfast. Or his dinner and breakfast sometime. Just absolutely wonderful people. You just can't believe. So if you want to pray for somebody that you don't know personally, you pray for James Owusu. Okay. And, okay, here we are. A team. And this is... at one of the fortresses. I think this is the British fortress in Ghana. And so, it's just a picture of a long deal. Okay. Liberia. Going to have a little fun with you on Liberia for a purpose, and you'll see why in a moment. Note, first of all, their flag. It's much like ours. They have 11 stripes for 11 articles in their constitution. They have a star right here because they're a republic, independent republic. And it was a miracle we got to Liberia. We had filled out all the paperwork, sent in for our visa, but we were going to get it there. We go in and wait in line, da-da-da. Well, the lady said, these forms are not going to work. And he just got it. The week before. Nope. You got to do these forms. And then you got to each write a letter why you're going. So we left and we went to an internet cafe. And Dan typed up our letters and did all that. Went back. Okay, everything's in order. Come back Monday and we will give you your visa. We got a plane reservation tomorrow morning, Friday morning. We're going to start speaking Friday night. And so he said, wait a minute. Da, da, da. So, well, the commissioner who does all of this is here, we'll see. Well, she was there. So we got to go, and her name was Angela, born-again believer. And she even put down on our visa, for ministry purposes. And she wrote us each a little letter thanking us for coming to their country. And she said, you come back at 3:30 and I'll have your visa. People, that those things just don't happen. Because one, she had to be there. She's the only one who could have done it. And two, then she had to be wanting to do it. So we got the visas and were able to go into Liberia. And this is the church where we met in Liberia. And so let's see here. I got some stories, but we'll just see where they fit. Okay. I guess this should have been first. Flew from Accra to Monrovia, named after Monroe. All right. Let's see here. Oh, I passed it up. Let me see. I don't know how to go back. Okay. This is the church in Monrovia. These are the pastors. All these are the pastors. People, they were so hungry. Now, I'll tell you some stories. The first day, they weren't going to be there. By the fourth day, they were loving it. And I like what they said. Hey, do you want us just to accept whatever you say? If you leave and we do that with the next people? We don't accept whatever white people come in here and give us. And we're very leery of it. But they love what we said, and they saw the truthfulness of it. And they want to have a Bible Institute training there. And so this is good. Now here is the inside of the church. You see how the roof doesn't have anything. I'm going to see if I've got some more on here. But this is assembly of the pastors right here. And then some of his church members over here. Just sharing with you a couple of things that were fun in this regard. The pastor, his name is Cisco, and his wife's name is Margaret. So we renamed her. We told them Cisco is a Mexican name, Spanish name. It's not a Liberian name. So Margaret needs a Spanish name, so we renamed her Margarita. And they didn't know what the drink was, but they had fun with that. But what was funny was the pastor, Cisco. Now, the church is charismatic. And so he gets up, and he tells the people, he's so cool, he goes, "This is not a jumping week. No jumping this week. This is a thinking week. This is a teaching week. We keep our seats, and we learn." And I thought that was so cool. The not a jumping week, and I'd be thinking week. And it was so much fun. He took anywhere from 3 to 4 offerings every service. He'd be going along and say, "Oh, we need an offering for the widows." They'd get out the bombos and they would put their thing out there and they'd come dance around. So we figured out, let's just use a dollar bill. Somebody's going to give a dollar. They would give 4 quarters. 1 quarter the first offering, second quarter, and then the third. They might have given it all in one, but boy, he just had 4 offerings. And prayer, he would be closing. And pray, and closing. And now we need to pray for this group. And then start praying again. Now we need to pray for this group. So one time he asked Dan to close in prayer. Say a prayer. And Dan God says, "We will finish and end with this prayer." So he would get up and start praying some more. But just unbelievable positiveness by these men. And people, we're talking no electricity, no plumbing, no anything here. And it was just really super to see their positive response. They want more. They want to learn more. They want to know when we're coming. I've already gotten an email. When are you coming back? From Cisco. And I think we got a picture just of Cisco here. And they just want to know the truth. Let's see, I think we've got, let me see here. Okay, I've passed it up. Let me just run through with you very quickly the history of this country. It was an unsettled area. And in circa 1804, the first slave ship of returning slaves to Africa landed at Liberia, the intercoastal part of Liberia. And then after that, on the ship Queen Elizabeth, after that, and it was by the Colonization Society in America. They were starting taking slaves back home that wanted to go back home. And they let them off at Liberia. Then, it seemed like it was 1834. I had it all down, and I guess it didn't come across. They formed their independence, named it Liberia for liberty. And they're very much associated with America, as you see their flag, much like our flag. Their currency, you could give them, like let's say we were eating or bought something, you can give them a $20 bill. They may give you a $10 bill in American and then the rest in Liberian money. It was just the most unbelievable interaction. But it had to be the most third world country I've ever been in and Dan's ever been in. The gross national product is so low. It's the lowest in the world. It's the lowest in the world. And they have no structure. At the camp, I'll show you, I think he's got a picture on here. They we met a dignitary from Germany who was over there to find out what Germany could do to help the economy of Liberia. And she told Dan and I, "We don't even know how they make a dime. We do not know how they do. We don't even know where to begin. They have no infrastructure, no way to start building in a society." And in 1889, Charles Taylor, if you've ever heard of him, started leading a revolution, and a group of 124 troops taking over Monrovia, the capital. A lot of people left the country at this time because of the slaughtering. In 1994, he became president and immediately started using his forces on retaliation. We passed by an area that was used to be a village where in one night he slaughtered the whole, he had his men slaughter the whole village because they weren't for him. And it got so bad. Then he started, those of you who seen Diamond Mine, Blood Diamond? Okay. What happened in Sierra Vista, not Sierra Vista, Leon Cerrero, that's it, north of Liberia. The rebels that went in and got the diamonds, they sold them to Charles Taylor for guns and ammunition and supplies that they could use to kill. It's all like killing in the movie. And it got so bad that George Bush, I didn't read any of this in the paper, George Bush sent over a warship, pulled up in the harbor, and said, Charles Taylor, you and your terrorist, get out. He got out, went to Nigeria, and now he is waiting for trial at The Hague Court, World Court in Hague. And you don't hear all of that. They love Bush. Just a common, not common, but just the ordinary people we've met in the church. Bush was a very good name to them. And they really appreciated what he had done. But what you're looking at here is the results of the war. This was a really nice building. It's just now tore, desolate, nothing, empty inside. It's another one. And so I think we got some more of those kind of pictures. This is Cisco. Right here is Cisco, the pastor. And just, he found Dan online. I mean, he's talking about the working of the Spirit. He just found Dan online and kept time. And then one day he called him. Dan picks up the phone. And Cisco, Dan! This is Cisco in Liberia, in Monrovia, Liberia. Dan said, whoever you are, it's 4 o'clock in the morning here. I will talk with you later. And he was persistent. And now he wants us to come back. I've gotten emails and two calls from him already. And this is his lovely wife, Margarita. And there's Dan teaching the pastors and then some of the people he had in his church. Let's see, I think we got a better picture. This is a group of the, here's the pastors all here, and this is the church. These are the ladies in the church where we're meeting. And again, we'll be taking up an offering to help put in the rest of this roof. It's going to cost approximately $750. And so this is Cisco. And then we met this other pastor who was our driver. And he said, I want to show you my church. So we call this the Bamboo Church. And so he wants to come to the Institute and be a part of all of this. Oh, this was funny. Okay, forget here. This is what I first saw. And I didn't. They weren't up on here. They were up on a stand. I thought they were making sun tea. We pull in to a filling station. The guy says, I want a gallon of gas, and they bring out these jars. This is gas in there. A low-grade gas, and that, and see them pour it in there. That's how they get their gas. There's not an official station. Huh? No. So, they just fill up these jars, and you buy a jar, and maybe a jar or two, and then you're on the road. That was just, there's something about the area. This is the spot where the first freed American slaves returned to Africa in 1831. They pulled right into here, and they let them out, and they formed the nation of Liberia. The free slaves, the ones who did this. This is a bombed out building from the recent civil wars. Cisco, by the way, and his family, they took off and fled to Nigeria, where he was in a big camp where they kept all the refugees. He got his education while there, started his first church there. And then he'd only been back in Liberia 7 months. And so, but now, you take these buildings, like this one here, we'd be driving, we'd see a lot of these buildings, 4 or 5 stories high, hundreds of people live in these buildings. I said to Dan, I wonder what they do for hygiene. Dan said, Herman, I don't even want to think about it. Don't even want to think about it. And this is where they live. This is how they live. And but many of them are open to the truth of the gospel. Okay. In Monrovia, Liberia, the first night we stayed at a Southern Baptist compound. The walls were good. It was secure. No water. They had a little, kind of an air conditioning fan. It came on at 6:30 in the evening and went off at 1 at night. By 1:15, you're awake sweating. And it's just that bad. Oh, another little thing that Dan and I were interested in. Well, I'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, so Cisco told us of this other one, SIM, at, used to be the Sudan Intermissions, but now they just call it Sudan Intermissions. And they had this beautiful compound, and this was our room. It had a fan. And I'm telling you, man, you learn to love a fan. You've got nothing else. And so this is our room, and this is where it is. And no AC, about 95 degrees, 90 below. And this is it. There's a room in this end, a room in the back, a room in the middle in the back. This front part's just a little meeting room. And then two rooms back over here and a little kitchen. So this is where we stayed. Now, I hate to tell you the next part. Suffering for Jesus. This was out our front door. The Atlantic Ocean. And I mean, you walk out of our, this is part of our where we're staying. And then you cross a road, right here's a road, and then there's the beach. I went in there every morning before we had to go. I went in the afternoon when we got back. And I went in a couple of nights until Legalistic Dan saw a sign that says no swimming after 10. And, God is gracious. One other thing, God is gracious. They have a fun thing. The pastor, and this is all over Africa, but I first aware of it in Liberia. Pastor says, God is good. And the congregation says, all the time. And then the preacher says, all the time, God is good. Preacher says, sometime? No, all the time, God is good. It was just fun. I mean, they do. But let's move on. Well, I guess that's the end of it. Yeah. So this gives you an idea of all that we did and things. Any questions about the school, the training school, what's going to be going on? Joel's going to be teaching the pastors in Ghana at James's church that you saw, 23 students there. And then he will teach in the Monday, start tomorrow. Monday morning, he will teach 10 at Pastor James's house. They can't get way across town to the church. And then that evening, he will teach the people in the church, the 23 of them in the church. If they stay with it, that's going to be the big question. We've learned that in Africa and in America. If they stay with it, you're going to have over 30 pastors, pretty well trained, and a curriculum set up by Dallas Seminary. And it's going to be quite impressive. And they stay that whole journey. They're going to be very effective. And because we know they're going to know how to be filled with the Spirit. Spirituality is not correctly taught in the series. But that's why Dan said, you teach it, but every now and then mention the book. And but they'll know how to be filled with the Spirit. Get these things going. So, any questions about these two countries, what's going on? Okay, let's close with taking. Yes. 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 The first one is introduction to the Bible and studying the Bible. Then it'll be the Old Testament survey, then the New Testament survey, and then I think spirituality. I know. I agree. Okay. So. But cause some trouble. All right. But it's going to be super watching these things happen and how they go, and they're going to need people, some of you, if you want to. And if we teach this here, you'll be able to go over there and actually teach that. And I'd like to get Philip over there, but we'll just see how this goes. Okay, so we've got a church that needs a roof. Now, let's don't forget Mexico. Don't forget Mexico with the earthly ministries. And I got a new letter I put back there. I'm going to ask him either to let me print some of these up and have them. But Amber, who and her husband work at the hospital in Homosia, puts in a letter. And it just talks about what's going on. But what they need, we need Bibles. Can you help us? We get our Bibles from the American Bible Society, which, by the way, Dan does in Africa, like in Ghana, Liberia. There is a National Bible Society. We went to it, and what they do is they work out a deal where they'll pay the society. The society will ship the Bibles into these various cities, because we can't mail them. I mean, it'd be $500 just to mail the Bible. So, but they already have them, and then these pastors can go and get all the Bibles they need, take them to the church. To their churches. But so need Bibles, and what we do is this is done out of John's church in Tucson, and he gets them down to Sierra Vista, Arizona. And so whatever we have in this offering, if we don't have enough, I've already talked, we'll have another offering just for the Bibles. But if we have more than we need here for the roof, and Dan's church is taking an offering for the roof also, so if we have more, we're going to put it onto the Bibles, if that's okay with everyone. So we're looking at a roof for our church that is positive to the truth in Monrovia, Liberia, and for Bibles throughout Mexico for the Risling's ministry. Let's prepare ourselves for the offertory. Heavenly Father, when Christ departed, he beckoned us to take the message of the gospel to the world. And in dealing with the conditions for the rapture of the church, is that the gospel will be flourished over the earth. Pray, Father, you'll continue to use this humble assembly. First of all, here at home, and the teaching of the word, edifying the saints, equipping the saints here, our own individual witnessing to people, to continue to use this church in the spreading of the gospel through the internet, publications, different things, different ways that you will. We pray now that you will receive the offerings they're about to give. In one case, they're aimed at material things, a roof, where believers can come and worship and study. Another case for Bibles, to people who don't even have a Bible. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. One other thing. At the pastor's conference, I don't know if I want this on the internet or not, but anyway, we're in a minority. John, Dan, and I, on how to be filled with the Spirit. We're in a vast majority, a minority. Most of them still believe it's confession, just different things like that. We made a decision before we went to the pastor's conference last year. Not an issue. Just see what the Lord does. All three of us, separately, had more opportunity to share what we see on how to be filled with the Spirit by faith in line with how we were saved by faith, than we even close to what we did last year. And every pastor that each of us talked with were very responsive, responding to it. They went, wow, hadn't thought of that. And gave out some of our little pamphlets, spirituality pattern after our salvation. Went through with them. That is really good. Can I get some more of these? So we'll hopefully be getting some orders for them. But please be in prayer for these men. These people, let's face it, eternal salvation, and if you don't know how to be filled with the Spirit, you're just spinning wheels. How to be filled with the Spirit, by grace through faith. So be in prayer. I don't even know their names, but God does. just be in prayer that the Holy Spirit will take what Dan, John, and I did, said to different pastors that we met, ate with. We just sit with different people at the pastor's conference. Sometimes we would, but most of the time we try to sit with just different people than John be over there, Dan and I be here. And just gave us an opportunity. And we didn't impress it. It wasn't like, all right, well, we're going to give them this. No, just sit down and talk. But when you've got a prayer attitude, it'll come up. And we just started talking, give these out to these pastors, and we're looking for some really positive response to men that we talk with on how to be filled with the Spirit by faith in the Holy Spirit. And not one, and even from each of us, not one pastor balked. Not one pastor that God led to us. We didn't seek them with their idea, sit with them, talk with them. Not one said, no, I don't believe that. No. They just, wow, that's really interesting. And then two of them wanted the pamphlets. So they also be in prayer for them. Okay, let's take the offering.